Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We are thankful you have joined us this morning. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to see you today.
Nice to see you as well.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading this morning is from St. Mark. Bishop, if you would share that with us now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was beginning to fill up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even the wind and the sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, Bishop, we talked about some of the Gospels and how they're so visual. This is another example of lots of images that are very striking. And we can just imagine being there on the water with Jesus. And in light of the weather we've recently had, not too hard to imagine being in stormy conditions.
Right. And I think many of us would approach the gospel in that way, that as if we kind of know what happened or we can understand. But I think just a simple literal reading of the text would shortchange it in many, many ways.
Exactly.
As we understand that the scriptures are for all times, they're not just in the time of Jesus. It certainly was an event in the life of Jesus and his disciples, but as it is written down in the inspired word of God in the gospel, it's meant for all of us. So it's not just a historical event or just a miracle merely, but it also has to have something much deeper in its meaning for us. And so those are things that we always, when we approach the word of God, we also have to look deeper into it, just as we see as we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. We don't just spend time in front of, obviously, a piece of bread, but it's right. Also the transformed, and we're invited into that mystery of Jesus' life as he gave his body and blood to us at the Last Supper, and, of course, sacrificed himself on the cross. So those mysteries are events, but we can't just take them as part of a story. They're an invitation to enter into a deep, deep mystery. And so even here in the rush of this moment, which we can certainly, as you said, understand here on waters, when they're you can certainly kind of feel the disquiet within yourself when all that's happening. But at the same time, it's an invitation. So the story, the parable, or not the parable, but the story of the gospel today of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples is an invitation to enter into something much deeper in a relationship with him in our own storms, our personal storms in life. So those are things that we really always need to consider when we're looking at the gospels.
In meditating upon this gospel, prepping for today's program, I read that there were probably about three different meanings or interpretations of this particular scripture passage. Three levels, if you will. One of them, being at the very start, was that the miracle of Jesus calming the sea and how he was able to do that pointed to his divinity.
Right. Sure. I mean, that he would have power over nature and all the elements of nature.
And then the second part of it was the question Jesus asks the disciples, why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? And how is your faith helping you in this moment? Are you being reinforced by your faith? Because when we don't have faith, we're blind to his identity as the Messiah.
Yes, and I think it also points to the fact that faith is never mature in any of us. So I think and that's part of the mystery here that we enter into. Do you not yet have faith? I think probably if we looked at it as he was asleep in the boat, it was kind of like you're asleep in your faith. So it's probably there's seeds of faith there. They obviously recognize, or they wouldn't have been in the boat with him. They were with him. That's one thing. But it's still that deep abiding faith when these moments happen shook them, and it can shake any of us. So again, I think there, you know, it's just that Jesus points to himself again. You know, the compass goes back to him, because when we're afraid like that, the needle of our compass, in other words, where do I look? How do I orient my life and my thinking and my faith? Where does it go? Well, unfortunately, at times like that, it goes everywhere. You know, how can we be saved? Where's the life vest, et cetera, et cetera. And Jesus simply says, do you not have faith? In other words, I'm your lifeboat. I'm here. I'm here with you. And I think that's the message of today. I'm here.
And you mentioned earlier, Bishop, about storms in our own lives. And I think that can mean something to all of us, especially in light of the recent storm that we had this week. When something goes wrong, you think, well, where are you, God? Why is this happening? And then it is in those moments that we need to step back and remember that he is always with us, and he's always here to help us.
Well, and I was, you know, one of the things I was going to point out, you know, the storms that are there in our lives, there's, you know, storms that are produced by sorrow in our life through the death of a loved one. There's problems that come up, problems at home, problems with children, problems with a marriage, problems with work, finances, etc. Mm-hmm. There's many, many storms. And there's also anxiety, just the worry, you know, even in a storm, you know, down here mm-hmm. in South Texas. I mean, it can create a certain anxiety, a certain worry in us. So I think the point here, though, is that Jesus was already in the boat. So in other words, for us, he's already there. And if we're asleep and don't continue to build that day-to-day relationship with him, then the storms come, and then we start questioning until we can kind of get ourselves back. So I think what Jesus is inviting us to is an abiding faith, not a faith that comes and goes, a faith of convenience when necessary, you know, forgetting. Because really, when you look at where Jesus was sitting and on the cushion, that's a seat of honor. So he was in the boat as an invited guest, but as a guest of honor. And that's the imagery, I think, that the mystics of the church have presented to us, that St. Teresa of Avila always saw him as the king, you know, that he resides in the soul, in the throne. I mean, I know that's language for us liberated, quote, Americans. We don't like to hear that kind of talk, but there's certainly places of honor in any family, but he was at that place of honor, which is where he needs to be in each of our lives. And the less that he's there and given that position, that place of honor in our life, which means with our attention, with our time, our prayer, giving time to prayer, and really believing in him, I mean, beyond doubts, then the storms of sorrow, of problems, anxiety, will overtake us if we're not alert. And that, you know, we'll be coming in the next months as we move toward the end of the liturgical year, all the gospels about staying alert, being awake. And that's the call, to be awake, to be alert. He is there so that when the storms come, we're ready. We'll always be human. I mean, I don't want to miscalculate the humanity in all of us, but at the same time, the stronger the relationship with him is, the less these things will catch us off guard.
And it's never too late. We've talked about this before. If we've left him, we've let maybe our relationship kind of go aground, if you will, or we've let Jesus drift away from our lives, it's never too late to continue. It's never too late to reconnect and develop that relationship again. It is never too late.
It never is, certainly, and that's what mercy is all about. But at the same time, you know, we should also use the grace that God gives us to develop that, and again, not to be lazy and just letting it drift by until we need it. So certainly there's always a possibility and the opportunity and the gift to start over. Certainly is. I think the other place, you know, going to our liturgy that we celebrate today on Sunday, and every day there is a prayer following the Our Father, which I think, again, when we pray liturgically, we pray with words that are repeated, but they're words that were repeated, but the meaning is always deeper and deeper. If we're attentive, you know, that if we're not asleep as these words are being prayed together, although in this part the priest is praying it, but inviting us to open our hearts to these words. And that is, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. So it means you can imagine yourself in that prayer that we're in the boat. Mm-hmm. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. And then we say, all together, for the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. So those words, I think, really sum up this whole scene. There's distress in our life. There's times evil is present in our lives, but we are asking to be protected from all that as we await in hope for the return of Jesus Christ. But to call upon him day after day as we celebrate the liturgy, as we pray this prayer after the Our Father, and then giving him the position of honor, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever, not mine, not someone else's, no power on earth, but yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and the glory. So I think the apostles then recognized that in the boat once he stormed, once he calmed the storms of that day.
We're going to take a short break, and we will continue our conversation as Our Shepherd's View continues. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we are discussing today's gospel reading, how Jesus calms the storm. And of course, this points to his divinity. Also, we were talking about how the disciples were struggling with their faith and how we struggle. But toward the end of the gospel, Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and he said for the sea to be quiet. And as we were talking about that, some of Mark's earlier gospels, Jesus commanded the demons to be quiet.
Right. Yeah. In the first chapter, in the 25th verse, he also uses that same phrase, quiet. Because the demons had overtaken the man and he came to Jesus for a healing. They were, of course, rebuking him because, why are you doing this? We know who you are. And so, you know, be quiet, which, you know, for us is to understand that Jesus has the power over of all of nature, the demonic beings as well. So that command to be quiet, in other words, I have the power. Whether it's to the wind here, quiet, be still, and to the sea, or to the demon that possessed the man, quiet, come out of him. So it's this the reality, the thought, the truth of the Jesus having power over. And again, this is if we just take this as an external a story that's external to us, as like, oh well, that was nice, you know, I don't really see how that could happen. But then you reduce Jesus to just a human being, but this is God, you know, the God-man who was given authority over heaven and earth, through whom all things were created, as St. Paul would speak of often in his writings, that all power, all glory belongs to him. So we, as I said earlier, we as church, we as people, individuals, need to put him back at the helm of the boat and on the cushion in our own lives, to put him there first, mm-hmm. and turn to him not just when we're in the foxhole, not when things are going poorly for us, or not when we're in desperation, but always, mm-hmm. to always have him there. That's what our life of faith is calling us to, and that's really what life is about in giving a witness to him in our life.
He is at that place of honor.
Right. So, you know, we really live for him, through him, and in him. We exist. And the Holy Father has mentioned this often in the last months, that we really need to wake up to this reality that God is greater than our human hearts. I think St. Paul says that somewhere in one of his writings, that God is greater than the human heart, and he has sent Jesus as the God-man, who is greater than the powers of earth and the things that torment us in life, or can torment us in life. So the more that we turn to him, the more that he's there, and we recognize that as we get up in the morning and throughout the day and till the end of night, that even the nighttime belongs to him, but not to us. I mentioned earlier about the great mystics. They've all, you know, if you look at their writings and you look at it with the lens of where is Jesus in their life, you can see what they went through. St. Teresa of Avila comes to mind with that beautiful prayer, which I'll read now. But, you know, all that she went through in trying to reintroduce into the life of the church a true spirit of mysticism and prayer, you know, during the time of the Inquisition, I mean, imprisoned and thought she was psychologically out of her mind and crazy, and you know, all these kind of things that people project when something like what her teaching, kind of out of the ordinary. In other words, you don't just follow rules, but you use the spirit, bringing the spiritual reality back into the life of the church, and so seen as a crazy woman, very powerful woman. I've always said that she's the one of them that I want to meet when I get to heaven. First of all, because she writes pretty much the way I do. She gets lost in a thought and gets five pages later, she comes back to the topic. But so that I get comfort from that. But obviously she went through a lot, as well as St. Francis and so many others. But she wrote this, a prayer that many of us are familiar with, toward the end of all her strife and the storms and everything. But she said, "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices." So obviously that's something that she didn't just make up. She lived through, that she experienced, and she passed on to the sisters and those that follow her teaching. And of course, she's a doctor of the church, so it's something for all of us now. But the beauty of that, a life tried, a life that where faith triumphs, where Jesus is enthroned in her own life, those are the kind of people that we need to look at today, and not to be defeatist in the sense that the world is more powerful than I am, or what I'm going through today or tomorrow or right now in my life is more powerful than what I'm able to withstand. When that happens, then yes, faith is diminished, or faith is weakened with that kind of mentality. And hope, the flame of hope, weakens, and we begin to be crushed by these things. And so the fear, frightened spirit comes in. But what Jesus offers these disciples in the boat is to reawaken your faith, enliven your hope, and look to me. And it will happen if you look to me. And I think that's what St. Teresa in her own life proved, that Jesus was, God was everything in her life. Jesus was enthroned in her heart. And so the compass, the needle of her compass was pointed north, and she was ready for the storms. And I think that's our invitation again today as we face many things.
And I have some friends that are going through some difficulties and physical ailments, and we always say, "We're praying for you." And the response from them very often is, "Yes, I can feel your prayers. I can feel the Holy Spirit. I can feel your prayers helping me."
Well, that's the beauty of faith, because if without that, we can give in to the pain, we can give in and resort to the type of procedures that are being promoted by certain authorities and confirmed by governments, such as end-of-life issues of dying with dignity, in other words, suicide almost, to alleviate the pain. I don't want to make judgments here, but I mean, I think, you know, the faith even in Jesus Christ who suffered for us, and that his suffering has redemptive value in our own life. So it's a strong faith that's called forth for all of us to witness to the power of God in our life and not to succumb to the illnesses, the pains, the sorrows, the problems, the anxieties of life. To give in to those kind of things is a lack of faith. I've heard as a priest, you know, oh, the lack of vocations, you know, there's going to be no more priests, blah, blah. And I thought, my gosh, I mean, I'm with you always until the end of time and in so many ways. How can anyone say because there's a lack or deficiency now that God doesn't have the power, that Jesus doesn't have the power, the Holy Spirit's not working to bring new life, which I think in many ways is happening today. So we can never succumb to any kind of pressure from the outside, any storm, any problem, any anxiety in our life, but to have faith and to allow that faith to lead us to hope, which then expresses itself most beautifully in charity, love for God and love for neighbor.
Well, all of us are facing storms in our own lives, both personally and then in our world around us. And I think today's the first day of the fortnight to freedom. You spoke a little bit about this last week, Bishop.
There's silent storms and there are huge raging storms. The whole persecution and the murder of Christians throughout the world and other faiths also. I mean, people, the hatred that sometimes it brews in a society, a divided society. So there's many things that are out there, and we need to prepare ourselves to speak up and whenever we can. This fortnight for freedom, of course, came up several years ago with the bishops throughout the United States to promote an awareness of religious freedom. Our first, from our First Amendment right, our most cherished freedom is the freedom to serve God and to worship God. So we've seen over these past years just this kind of creeping storm taking away freedoms that belong to us, such as who we can serve in our adoption agencies, in our homeless shelters, you know, even in the church. I mean, as if we have no rights to say, well, we believe in certain disciplines in the church, such as the marriage between a man and a woman, and the government is trying to tell us, well, you have to also witness these other marriages between same-sex couples. And not that we hate anybody. You know, we want to love everyone, embrace everyone, but we have a mandate, you know, we have to be faithful to the Word of God. We have to be faithful to the tradition of the church that's been passed down through the Holy Spirit for centuries. And so, again, not against anyone personally, but we cannot succumb again to the storms of public pressure and opinion and change the natural law, the plan of God for the human person, for the family. There's so many things that, again, it doesn't look like a storm right now, but I think we need to be sharp and see what is happening in our society, because it could be a bigger storm, and it will be a bigger storm if we don't stand up for our rights, for our religious freedom. So this 14 days up until July 4th then is dedicated to prayer and fasting, coming together in prayer as a community, and as Catholics can do adoration in our parishes. So I've encouraged the priests to do something in their parishes to really bring us together. Again, not to be against anybody, but to pray together that God's will and God's plan for humanity be accomplished.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for your words and insight. If you would now close the program with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, that we may always revere and love your holy name. For you never deprive of your guidance those you set firm on the foundation of your love. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.